It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to the best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy with Maddie Russell in as co-host. And on today's show, we kicked off talking about Reece Walsh, among other things, and his superstar status in the NRL. Than we thought. We've had a few little issues that we've dealt with, but well done to the tech team. We are flying now. Welcome to a new week. Monday morning, Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy right here on the home of sport, SEN. And if you're listening on 1170, we'd love to hear from you on the Great Southern Bank open line, wherever you are today, whether you're listening on the app, anywhere in the world, either give a call on the Great Southern Bank open line, 1300 01 1170, or hop on the Edgewater Homes text line, 0457 736 736. Maddie Russell in the co-host chair today because we've still got Greg Alexander swanning around Japan. He's in Hiroshima or somewhere today, I'm not sure, but there he is. Maddie Russell, we talk buses on this program. There's a few buses that have lost wheels, it would seem, after the weekend. One of them is Tottenham. Not completely, but last night, I just kept explaining to young Harry Voss. I said, this is so big. Have you looked at Tottenham's draw? Yes, I have. I said, got to get a point out of this tonight. If win would be fantastic. Well, 3-0 halftime, and I've gone, oh, boy. Let's go to bed. That's it. It didn't last. Anyway, they got two second-half goals, but no, top four now looks beyond Ange's Spurs. Good morning to you, Matty.
Good morning, Andrew. Great to be here. I'm looking forward to a full week with you. I know that you are presiding over a great show, and we don't even come on air yet, and the texts are flowing in on the Edgewater Homes text line, 0457 736 736. I'm looking forward to getting through them this morning. You're right, the Gunners, 3-0. It was after less than 40 minutes the game was done. Tottenham rallied late to tease their fans, but the game was done. And when it comes to rugby league, Andrew, the Sharks finish a third round in a row on top of the table. And not hard to work out why Craig Fitzgibbon's men are going so well. When you look at simple attack and defence numbers, the Sharks scoring more than 28 points per game, first in the league, conceding just 14 points per game, best in the league. So your best attacking and defensive team through eight rounds on top of the table.
I've got breaking news, though, the big news. The big news when you look at the ladder, and we'll do that for Bailey Ladders a little later on completely, but look who's eighth. Look who's eighth. Team that wears blue and white.
The Bulldogs.
Bulldogs. Who let the dogs out?
Yes.
Bulldogs fans, you're in the eight.
That's great.
I know you had the bye. I know you had the bye. But the ladder has the Bulldogs eighth. They're in the eight.
Teams that have spent a long time down the ladder with big supporter bases, you've got to celebrate that. And it's
Bulldogs
great
fans,
for the
get
game.
Get on the line now. Get on the line now. I want to hear them on the phone line. 1300 01 1170. Sing Who Let the Dogs Out. Just gloat. Just be happy. You know, you got to go with these things. You know, it mightn't last. Maybe it will. But I'm backing them next week, aren't you, to beat the Tigers?
Absolutely.
They'll stay in the eight as
Sydney
of next week, won't they?
Yep.
They'll be favourites against the Tigers at a core.
What sort of crowd do we get?
Exactly.
Western Sydney teams, Bulldogs, Tigers.
40,000.
And the Tigers have been selling out Campbelltown. We'll get to their home ground and have a discussion regarding that later on. But that should be a big crowd. It's Saturday. It's 3 p.m. Unfortunately, the forecast, Andrew, and we'll get to the forecast. It's going to be a little wet next weekend.
Oh, Maddie,
long rain.
You have to go off this early with your long rain weather forecast. Stick it up your.
But you know what? I'll give you a positive here. I'll give you a positive. When I watched the weather forecast last night, it was anything between 0 to 50 mils next Saturday. So a very wide parameter.
Very wide with your life. On a Sunday night, you're studying weather charts for 7 days in advance.
I wanted to know what it was going to be like for the footy next weekend.
Well, you must have to be. Matt Russell's had a big night on the Les Kiss. I think he's just seriously looking at weather charts for next Saturday. Come on.
Up too late watching Tottenham. No. That's the problem.
So exactly. Well, I only got to half time and just said, that's it. I bailed. Now, the buses. Let's talk about the buses. I'll tell you one bus that's gone good. I know we're going to jump around a little bit, but A-League, 7 for Sydney FC. 7 against Perth Glory. Put 7 away. Jay Lolly got a couple. So we're well and truly invested with Sydney FC, but all the Sydney clubs back in the top 6, so that's good news. The rugby league buses that you've got to say, what is going on? Obviously, we reviewed Anzac Day last Friday morning, but, you know, encapsulating the whole round, Dragons, that was a setback. Rabbitohs, massive problems. Parramatta, again, led half-time. Last week it was 40 against the Dolphins. This week they concede 26 against Manly. Where's that bus headed? The Tigers' attack was, oh, boy, I was out at Campbelltown. The joint was buzzing, Matty.
Wasn't it?
The joint was buzzing.
So, Andrew, it was so
good.
Their
attack was pedestrian.
I was sitting sideline with Lara and Tony Chalmers working with Fox League, and the atmosphere there, and I just, there was such a anticipation is the word to use before kickoff. And I felt sorry for all the fans who turned up to Campbelltown Sports Stadium that their team only scored the 10 points. We might talk about whether they should have finished with a few more points, courtesy RP Coruscant later on. But, yeah, but marvel at Brisbane's attack. Oh, that try scored by Jock Madden, where he peeled around, ran off the edge forward. You could see it coming. It was just executed magnificently. Brendan Piakura hitting the line, dragging the defence in.
Terrific
off
back
he
row.
Went to Jock Madden, and that was just, to me, I said, wow, Brisbane,
all
look
right.
at them.
So the Tigers bus is worried. Tigers fans are starting to perhaps fear a wooden spoon, like based on that attack. So, but against a very good Broncos side, there's worries there, but there's teams below them on the ladder, but there's only two, fact of the matter. And now the Canberra Raiders, it's more than just Jamal Fogarty there. I mean, that was a big day. Home game, Ricky's milestone game, 40-0. Canberra, I would be worried if I'm a Raiders fan this morning. They run into Manly this Friday night. What's your weather forecast there? Manly Friday night. Manly could, if the Sharks put 40 on Canberra and Manly click, although there's doubts about Daly Cherry Evans, we can talk about that later on with the, but if the, you know, Tommy has a big night, then 40 might be the least of their worries. It might be 50.
Look, deep down, Ricky, I'm sure, would have felt that at stages this season, opponents were going to put big scores on his team. You've got a teenage 5'8", you've got a teenage fullback, average age of the back line, about 21 years of age. That doesn't excuse them for yesterday, but I'm sure that Ricky would admit he expected to have some tough bumps along the way this season. Yesterday, Vossie, the way that the Sharks rolled upfield, it was like they were playing game one, freshened up, you know, no bumps or bruises, nothing to see here. And the Raiders were at the end of a 27-round slog. It was just such a gulf physically because possession with the Sharks, ball in play for so long, the Raiders were gassed in the first half.
Yeah. Have you seen all the rugby league postmortems this morning? And we'll unpack some of the bigger issues and controversies and the good performances. I'm going to throw one at you. I'm going to throw it for you now to respond to. Followed rugby league all my life. And I had to think about this after Saturday night, and I think Reece Walsh is the biggest thing the game's ever had.
Ever had.
I have never seen kids' reaction. I know when Benji was at his peak and they want to do flick passes, I've never seen so many young girls at football matches, young boys. My own son Harry wandered along. Who did Harry want to get a photo with? Reece Walsh. He doesn't follow the Broncos. But wants Reece Walsh. I spoke to my producer, Lee. Same deal. His daughters. Reece Walsh. Don't follow the Broncos. But now take an interest in the game because of Reece Walsh. Now, one's the looks. One's the way he plays the game. One's the way he scores a try, salutes, flamboyant jumps and all that. He's got the lot, Reece Walsh. I'm saying, and it mightn't go to older heads, Reece Walsh is the most popular player in the game I think I have ever come across in my time. He is so big for the game right now. You can shoot me down or you can hop on the bus. Tell me your kids, are they Reece Walsh fans? Let me know. Let us know here.
My instant reaction is recency bias. There's got to have been more popular players since 1908 in Australia. Undoubtedly, Reece Walsh is immensely popular and deserves to be so. And you know you're in trouble as an opposition club when the West Tigers ball boys are having photos with Reece Walsh after full time.
I'll throw one in you.
One of them is Cooper
Clemmer. Supermodel, wasn't he? ET was a supermodel. Yeah. ET didn't get this sort of attention that Reece Walsh does. From all supporters, all young supporters, I reckon Reece Walsh added 5,000 to the crowd the other night. All those that came along, their soul, you know, for little kids in the southwest of Sydney to be making Reece Walsh signs, and there were plenty of them. I haven't experienced that before.
This is the best of Vossie and Brandy this morning. You've got Vossie and Matt Russell. It was a pleasure. It was great to catch up with Patton Heels.
All righty, let's go up to Queensland. Let's continue the chat on Reece Walsh. Let's continue the chat on LIV Golf. Pat and Heels doing their thing across the border. Pat and Heels, good morning.
Vossie, a very good morning to you. Yes, I'm a little bleary-eyed. I got home from Adelaide late last night, but I tell you, it was all adrenaline at the Grange over the last 3 days. I see they've just released figures saying they got record crowds of 94,000. It was a lot of fun to be involved in.
Oh, Heels, this is a bit of a sore point. You, me, we're stuck here, studio, Brandy. We never go anywhere.
Workaholics,
Rodgers on the junket. Jared Waitley, he goes off to the Super Bowl. When's our trip, Heels? Come on.
Yeah, no, I have been thinking that myself. But yeah, we're just workaholics, mate. Covering backsides, we do. That's what we do. Now, you're that busy every weekend, but did you just purposely give the Firebirds and Swift results when we came on air with you?
Yeah,
you rubbed it in?
Yeah.
You're unbelievable, mate.
No, well done, Firebirds. Extra time. No, we just were so in shock in Sydney. The Swifts started the year with a big defeat, a heavy defeat. Then we had Maddie Proud on the program, co-captain, and she promised us. Like, she did a little promise, you know, and said they'd bounce back, and they have. They've won two straight. So we just thought we'd highlight that. I know Matty Russell was LIV Golf bound yesterday. A lot of viewing yesterday. So he's extra jealous of you, Pat. I do know that, Matty.
Well, Pat, when it came to the individual event, Brendan Steele, great story there. But I was captivated by this second hole playoff between the South Africans and the Aussies, the Aussie Rippers, as their name. Cam Smith, Mark Leishman get the job done after the South Africans put their shots into the bunker. The crowd behaviour, while questionable, gee, it adds an element, doesn't it, to this golf tournament. Just tell us about that playoff and the fan atmosphere at the course while that was unfolding.
Well, Matty, it was all a little bit surreal, to tell you the truth, because, yes, Brendan Steele won it, and he played from the first hole, so he actually finished at 18 with his shotgun start format that they use. So there, his teammates and his friends are splashing champagne all over the 18th green and around the hole in particular. And then we realised, hang on a minute, we've got a playoff here for the teams event where there was a hell of a lot of money involved, $7.5 million Australian involved in that for the teams. We went back and started again. And naturally, every spectator on the course has arrived on the one hole to watch this playoff. So there were, I have to say, tens of thousands of people around it. And just trying to control them was crazy because they have this habit as they come up 18 of allowing the fans to jump in behind. And, it was just manic. It really was. But look,
when
it was
great. When
did we get
a piece of the action, Pat? So we've done Adelaide twice. What is the word? Is it locked in there? Can we get more than one? Like, I'm sure Sydney, Brisbane would buy into it, Melbourne.
You'd have a little
Australian leg, couldn't you, at the LIV?
Yeah. Well, Melbourne showed no interest at all. Look, remember, Vossie, when it first started, there was all the talk about sport washing and so much controversy about it. So politicians being politicians, they just said, we might sit back and wait and just have a look at how this goes. Well, Malinowskis jumped in Adelaide, and it's turned out to be a boon. I see they're saying that something like 40% of the 94,000 that arrived over the last 3 days were from interstate or international. So that means a hell of a lot of hotel rooms, a lot of money spent at restaurants, and the whole LIV experience is not cheap. I mean, the merchandise, $60 for a cap, $140 for polos and things like that. So it's not cheap to go out there, and I think you can play today on the composite setup at the Grange for about $1,700. So the money talks right at the moment.
The next idea, a mooted idea, fellas, was that each captain of those LIV teams will get a home tournament. It might be in their home city, it might be in their home state or their home country. But it could be a juggernaut going around the world if they get that, if they duplicate that Adelaide enthusiasm.
The merchandise might be expensive. They've got a bit to recoup, Andrew. There's a bit to recoup on the LIV golf.
I just make a point, fellas, and I'll throw it out there. We're four blokes of an age. You know, we're not of the younger generation, has to be said. I'm sorry to break the news to your heels, Pat. We've been around the block a few times. The shoey doesn't get me.
There's
no way on God's earth I would ever fill a dirty shoe with any liquid and drink it. And to see Cam Smith and Greg Norman, and mate, there must have been a thousand shoeys done on the weekend at LIV. There's no way I'd do it. Boys, are you shoey fans? Would you do it?
No, I'm not a shoey fan. As I said to Heels as well, as we were making a hasty departure from the airport last night, I could hear Cam Smith on stage. As they were being presented with the team trophy, trying to encourage the entire crowd to do a shoey. So it was all going to be a little messy.
Big shoey fan. I'm a big shoey fan.
Oh, are you?
And my niece Elisa does glovies. So she puts it in a wicket-keeping glove. It's even worse. First time she went to do a glovey, you know, there's holes in between your fingers, right? And the aeration holes. She worked out, I better tape them up because the glovey was empty. But
the glovey
and
the shoey. Matt Russell, last word on the shoey.
Well,
are you?
I want to ask you, Andrew. You put your headset down after calling a big rugby league game. The crowd, as one, turns to you in the commentary box, and someone says, "Here, Vossi, have this shoey." Peer group pressure. You got tens of thousands of people watching at you. You do the shoey. I am sure. I'm sure you do the shoey.
Matty Russell, I'm sure you're wrong.
Okay, I might test that one.
It ain't happening. Yeah. Now, I've gone on air this morning. If I gone the early crate, Pat Heels, on Reece Walsh, I experienced, Matty saw it Saturday night. We were at Campbelltown for Fox League. The Reece Walsh phenomenon, I'm now calling it. I have followed rugby league all my life. I've seen superstars come through. You know, the days that ET and others. I'm saying Reece Walsh is the biggest thing the game's ever had to the kids of the game. There were... Everyone wanted a selfie with Reece Walsh. Is he that big? Have I got that right?
Look, I came through the Lewis era up here, so much so that, probably 15 years into the Broncos' existence, when Wally would go down to report on a training session with Channel 9 or whoever he was with at the time, he would sign more autographs than the players themselves. So I did see the Wally phenom, but I think I've got to agree with you, Vossie. He's as big as they get right at the moment. They just adore him.
Yeah. How good was it when the ball boys were getting their photos with him and the ball boys had their Reece Walsh socks on? It was fantastic, mate. The Broncos were very, very good early, weren't they? And they made the West Tigers look second rate, and it was a game they were very wary of.
One of the ball boys' heels was David Clemmer's son, Cooper. So you've got the Tigers... You know, hard man enforcer through the middle. His son's the ball boy going up to Reece Walsh saying, "Hey, Reece, how about a selfie?" So,
that's brilliant.
We were impressed with the Broncos. They must be making some noise again in Brisbane, no doubt.
Yes, they are, mate. They are. And imagine them when they haven't got wooden legs. I loved your call, Vossie, when Adam Reynolds was backing back with wooden legs. It was like he's in a wheelchair going backwards. And then he gets the intercept. How good was that? The Bronx are extremely popular. I'm pleased to hear Kevy today sort of give them a little slap on the back of the hand for being a bit wasteful. I thought he'd do that last week against the Canberra Raiders. They knocked one on over the line. They knocked on a simple pick the ball up and score a try, and they had smiles on their face. I thought Kevy might crack it then, but he cracked it last night. A few too many errors when they were trying to all be scoring a try every ruck.
Heels, Pat, Vossie's already said it. We're old blokes. I remember the day when you were playing 50 over one day internationals where 220 meant that you were in the contest. You had a score on the board. What about the runs and the sixes we're seeing in the Indian Premier League? Over the weekend, Johnny Bairstow, 108 not out as the Punjab Kings beat the Kolkata Knight Riders with a record T20 run chase, 2 for 262 off 18.4 overs. Jeez. I know, Vossie, you've been keeping an eye on the sixes that were hit in that game.
There's been the markets, boys. Gamble responsibly, of course. But the markets is, you know, your overs and unders on the sixes market. You could have paid off. You could have paid off your house by now if you had a back overs on the sixes, like over 16. There's been 26 and 36s in these games over the weekend. It's been outrageous.
I've noticed another thing as well as the sixes. They're putting Yorkers away now. So a good area to revert to is full, fast, wide Yorkers, wide of off. But they're hitting them past third man and backward point now too. And so that's been an improvement. So maybe they got to straighten up their Yorkers and make sure their Yorkers not miss their length. But the batsmen are extremely versatile and very powerful at the moment. I think the bowlers have been left behind.
And the T20 World Cup, it's on in June in the West Indies and the US. And Heels, I believe that Australian team is being named this week.
Yes. Do you know, has it been announced how many we're picking?
Don't know that number.
No, because I picked my team overnight and I've got it to 17. I bet it's 15 that we've got to take
Cup. 17's a bit over. I think you overclubbed there, Heels. I don't think it's going to be more than 15. Is Fraser McGurk in there? Yep. Again, another big innings over the weekend.
Yeah, I think so. It might cost Tim David. We've just got to, and so I've omitted Steve Smith, Sean Abbott, and Jason Berendorf, because I've put in Spencer Johnson, Aaron Hardy, and Jake Fraser McGurk. Now I've also put in Warner at the top of the order because he's not only being rested, he's injured. So if he can't get this injury right for Delhi, they're going to give him full rest to make sure he's right for the World Cup. Now, I'm never going to underestimate Warner in his last World T20. So he's in. Marsh, Maxwell, Green, Inglis or Wade, whoever. Matt Short. There's our batting lineup. How powerful is that? And I haven't even got Tim David in there or Jake Fraser McGurk. They're on the bench for me. But have we got room on the bench for both of them? So we're going to have a very good team, and it's a very difficult tournament to win a T20 World Cup.
Welcome back to the best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy, Maddie Russell in the co-host chair. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Instagram at Vossie Brandy SEN, also on X and on the program. Michelle Bishop covered a whole host of sporting topics.
I reckon our next guest would. I'm backing Michelle Bishop. She would love to do a shoey. Am I right, Michelle?
Absolutely not. I wouldn't even use my own shoe. It's disgusting.
Disgusting. Yeah. Absolutely disgusting.
I was one of those parents once when I saw my son do it going, please, no, not my child. Guys, it's so bogan. Like, I can't believe that those are the images that are being splashed around the world about good old Australia.
Is Liv Golf bogan? Seriously. Is Liv Golf bogan in your eye? Is Liv Golf bogan, Michelle?
No, love Liv Golf. I love the whole concept. I think it's fantastic. I'm a little bit rebellious, and I just love the fact that they're sticking it to the PGA. So not a purist when it comes to that. But, you know, the fact that you've got over 100 bands pouring into Adelaide, and look, it's a lot of fun. You know, the whole watering hole is fantastic. Not sure about the water bottles that are being pegged at people. I do love the fact that they're now, the management have decided to hand the water bottles out with bids off, so there's less impact if it does peg, you know, actually hit someone. But I love it. I think it's great. But I just think we need to. The shoe is, yeah, it's got to die a slow death. See you later. Thanks for coming.
Well, it's not going to. I mean, we're just going to have to be in the minority, it would seem. Michelle, we will get to some other sport in a moment, but need to ask you about Reece Walsh. Now, as a mother, but you've got sons, you've got boys. Here's one from Panther Cole. Text, he says, morning, guys. I'm a 52-year-old Panther supporter, but will watch reruns of Reece Walsh's highlights. He is on another level. There you go. I'm saying he's the biggest thing the game's ever had, Reece Walsh. At 21 and the young girls at Campbelltown the other night. Does he hit the mark with your boys?
We are on the same page. Oh, look, I think they're a little bit jealous. I remember when he first emerged, it's like, oh, that kid, those eyes, like it was a bit, they were a bit dirty, like because he's a good-looking young lad. My little niece, I will have to say, Savannah, she started his little fan page. She was about 12, I think, when she did that. Pretty obsessed, all the girls anyway in the household, including me. I'm not too old to say that he's a good-looking young chap and gee, he can play footy. Bonus.
Well, there you go. Plenty of support across the landscape. I'll tell you what, Michelle, there's some news coming out of South Sydney. And 537 on the text line, morning, boys and Michelle. Just on Latrell Mitchell not putting himself in contention for State of Origin, as started to be reported over the weekend. He says, come on, let's be honest. He's never going to get picked anyway. So well, the question to you are multiple. A, where is he in terms of being selected, do you think? And will he actually come out and formally say, no, I'm not playing Origin this year? I suppose the third question is, what does that mean for Latrell going forward at the rep level?
Look, guys, critics are going to say that he's jumped before, I guess, it's all been executed. That really, was there any hope of Latrell Mitchell being selected, you know, given his form, given what's been sort of, you know, I mean, his behaviour, he's not been that great. He's had the latest suspension over the Sean Johnson thing. But at the end of the day, I have to ask you guys, I tried to look this up last night because I honestly didn't think you were actually able to just say, look, I'm going to not put myself into contention unless you were injured. You either retired from rep football or you didn't, or you maybe can come out of retirement like they're talking about Jack Whiten. But just to decide on and off on the spur of the moment whether you're going to be available or not. At the end of the day, there is some serious conversations I'm hearing at South Sydney where there's pressure on him to perform at club level first. As I say, they've let him down. They've got, you know, Penrith this week, so that's the last week he'll be sitting on the sideline after that Sean Johnson incident. But he does. He does owe the club. He does have to try and lift them off the bottom of the table. But is that an actual thing, guys? Because I couldn't find it anywhere. Can you just decide?
Did Kaelin Ponga stand out?
That was over concussion, Vossi.
Origin last. Yeah, true. Yeah, not just for a rest. Can I be honest, though? If Tom Trbojevic is seen as a centre and New South Wales have always picked him as a centre, then Steve Crichton's the other centre. Latrell Mitchell doesn't get a look in there and he ain't getting picked at fullback. So, no, I don't have Latrell Mitchell. If I'm fair to him today, writing down a side on paper, I don't have him. And Brian Toto's got absolutely one wing locked up, and I'm probably going Dylan Edwards at the moment at fullback. I have Edwards in front of Tedesco. I'm expecting Tedesco to get picked probably, but I have a back line of Edwards, Toto, Crichton, Trbojevic, probably out O'Carr, the other wing.
Bradman Best, the incumbent, having scored a couple of tries on debut. No room for Bradman Best in there.
Crichton's a better player.
The battle for the back five at New South Wales, it's so good. We're so rich in options in that area. You can understand why Latrell is not featuring in the New South Wales team of many.
This is right. And guys, just still with South Sydney, obviously there's been a lot of talk about an absolute standout in the Super League, Lewis Dodd. He's a halfback from St Helens. We'll probably remember him from, he kicked that field goal in Golden Point extra time in 2023, where St Helens beat Penrith. Talks of him coming to Australia, signing a 4-year deal from next year. And that obviously leaves poor old Lockie Elias out in the cold. Did a bit of homework last night. And look, it's a tough spot for Lockie to come from as well in reserve grade, obviously, or in New South Wales Cup and busted. So he's still got another year to run on his contract. But I did inquire with a few clubs, and there was some suggestion over the weekend that the Bulldogs were keen on him. At the moment, that's not the case. They aren't looking at Lockie Elias.
You're listening to the best of Vossi and Brandy. This morning, it's Vossi and the Ring-In, Matt Russell, and every Monday, we have our regular rugby league chat with the GOAT, Cameron Smith.
Monday mornings between 8 and 8.30, we have Cam Smith online. Now, Cam does have a few daughters there in the crew, in the Smith crew. I'm interested to know the impact of Reece Walsh. Cam Smith in our Gold Coast studios. Good morning to you.
Good morning, fellas. How are we going?
Really good. Like, there's so much to cover on a Monday morning. I mean, there's some serious as well. But Maddie Russell and I were at Campbelltown on Saturday night, and I've gone on record today, Cam is saying, and I've followed, as you know, rugby league all my life and gone along since I was a little boy and had heroes. I don't think I've seen anything bigger than Reece Walsh. The adulation of kids in particular, all what is like little kids in the southwest of Sydney going to the trouble of making signs to go along to a game to just show their support for a player, not teams, just to support a player. What impact has he had with the Smith kids, Reece Walsh, observed?
No, they're big fans, the three little Smiths. They're big fans of Reece and what he does. And I think, you know, given the way he plays, fellas, I think is the main factor here. Like, he's so fast, he scores a lot of tries, he sets up tries. I think just the way he goes about it, you know what I mean? He's got those fancy eyes, those beautiful little eyes that he has, and the locks, the beautiful hair when he's running along in space. But yeah, I just think kids love that, right? Like when you're little, like take yourself back to when you were young boys. Like it was all about the flashy players, right? The guys that were really fast and could make breaks and score tries, and they're the ones that you wanted to follow, not the guys that made 50 tackles every week and, you know, helped their team to victory. It was all about the one scoring points. So, but, you know, like he's a likeable guy. He's very friendly with the crowd, spends a lot of time, you know, going around getting high fives and taking selfies and giving autographs and all that sort of stuff. No matter where he goes, it's not just at home when they play at Suncorp. It's everywhere. But, yeah, he's running hot at the moment, isn't he, Walshy?
Can you imagine how popular Cam Smith would have been had he painted his fingernails? Yeah. Had he painted his fingernails? Did it ever cross your mind, I might paint the fingernails black for tonight's game?
No. No, Matty. No, not once. Not once did I ever think I might just paint my fingernails. But, well, yeah, they're a bit different now.
Well, Cam, listen to this. Rhino Mike has texted in off the back of Andrew Voss's love affair for Reece Walsh this morning. Morning, Matty. Can you tell your offsider that we don't need to hear about his love affair for a Queenslander? The way he's carrying on about Walsh, he'll need to take an AVO out against the SEN host. Oh,
please. Rhino Mike, come on. I'm just telling you what I observed. My life is rugby league. I go to three or four games every week. I have since I was a little boy. You know, gone along to games. And I've seen superstars, Cameron, like when E.T. was around. And yeah, he was superstar and junior and Sturlow and others. I'm just saying what I witnessed, and with my own son, Harry, you know, he goes along, oh, I want to get a photo with Reece Walsh. And then others, my producer Lee, says, these girls, they're not interested in rugby league. They're interested in Reece Walsh. Like, he makes them watch. They want to be part of it. And others, and I'm saying he mightn't be floating the boat of the 50-pluses, you know, rugby league. They see him as a lair and all of that. Mm. But dip your hat to a different generation. Reece Walsh is great for our game.
Well, he's massive because he's spreading the word of rugby league, right? But you got to think about it. Like, we're living in a very different world now to when we were young, right? So, like, all of this social media stuff, Reece is my kids have shown me some things where, like, my young bloke, he comes up and goes, "Look at this, Dad. Reece Walsh is live on I think is it Snapchat? I don't know how it all works, right? But he." I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, what do you mean? And he shows me the phone, and he's at home playing like one of these video games. But you can stream into his account, right? And you can watch him live at home. So what he's doing is, like, you got to understand this, fellas. Like, he's living in the world of all these young people, right? So they've all got access to him. So that's why a lot of the players are so well known these days. Like, when you think of some of the greatest players to play our game, like, you know, Thurston, Slater, I'm just naming a few in my era, Lockyer, Joey Johns, even go back to those earlier days, like you said, Vossie, you know, like an E.T., Alfie, all the way back. If these platforms were around when these players were playing,
that's a fair point.
Huge also.
Snap poll. If we live streamed one of us three, at some point today, my followers, whoever they would be, could watch me packing some boxes down the warehouse. What about you, Matty? What's exciting? What's the least exciting thing you're doing today?
I'm going to listen to Graham Annesley's weekly football briefing.
Is you watching Graham Annesley?
In readiness for NRL tonight. That would, you know.
Cameron, what's the most boring thing you're doing today that you could live stream, and we'll do a little test between the three of us? Who gets the most watches and views?
Well, I'm going to go jump on my ride on Mara after this and go mow my lawn.
Nice.
So I'll live stream that.
You win, I guarantee
you. Point of view vision. That'd be nice. Can we talk separation, as in Appy Coruscant? Now, is it time we review what is re-gripping a ball and all the rest? And I'm not convinced that this is just one moment out of the weekend, and, you know, not going to live on or die on this hill on this matter, but I watch it and I think it's just so wrong. We're taking a try off one frame, like 1/25th of a second.
Yeah.
The video, the bunker claimed that the ball came away from the hand, and I'm still not convinced that a finger still wasn't on it. It may have come away from the palm of his hand, but he still had a finger on it. You know what I mean? Like, his fingers were still touching, but it was away from the palm of his hand. Do you think like the re-gripping of the ball? Should we be refereeing the game that way, Cameron? Looking that through such a microscope?
Well, I think now with all this technology, right, and the super slow-mo replays, that's why they break it down to the nth degree, like the bunker, is because if they don't, then they'll be criticised. They'll be like, well, you know, a lot of people will say, well, we seen some space between the hand and the ball there, like in those super slow replays. Why don't we rule that a knock on? I think for the majority, most of us would be happy to award that try. But I think just with the technology now, like that's why the bunker goes to the nth degree. And it, sometimes it's a little bit frustrating when we go replay for replay for replay and all of a sudden we haven't seen football played for several minutes. But it's there, and you know, so they use it to try and get what they feel is the right decision.
Yeah, if we're going to stop it down frame by frame to identify that, even though, Vossi, I know you say the fingers were on the ball the whole way, let's assume that didn't happen, even though I know you are adamant that it did. Let's assume that there's one frame there whereby there is separation between hand and ball. Well, if you then go to the following frames, there is hand back on ball, where I would argue that it has been re-gripped. You can't use a frame by frame to say separation and not say, well, frame by frame, there's a re-grip. So I think there's a try there, probably on the fact that his fingers stayed on the ball like you say, Vossi. But as I say, I think there's a re-grip.
Re-grip, yeah. The league said you've got to re-grip with two hands before it hits the ground. Well, no, not when the ball is in the crook of the wrist and...
Yeah.
And hand, and then he re-grips to stretch out. You know, I don't think he lost. Put it this way. Common sense to me says he's knocking my door down saying he scored that try. He did not lose control of the ball, and that's all we should be judging. He did not lose control of it.
If we're allowing players to re-grip, which is the new interpretation, right, why do they have to have two hands? Because not every try-scoring opportunity you can reach out with two hands. Sometimes it's got to be with one hand. So why does it have to be with two hands, Vossi?
And look at the way Joey Manu carries the ball in one hand
half
the
time. Right. That's right, mate.
Good point.
Clearly got a grip on the ball quite clearly. If you go back to Anzac Day, Cameron, two clubs who did this round so sensationally. Sydney 60-18 against the Dragons. Yep. Your Storm 54-20 against South. Did one team do it better than the other? Who was the better out of those two?
I was really impressed with the Roosters. I really didn't see that scoreline coming. Given that the Dragons, Matty, had come off two wins, they were up and about, and I think a lot of people gave them some hope. I thought that was going to be a really close game. I tipped the Roosters to win, but not in that fashion.
We both tipped the Dragons, to underline your point.
Really?
There
you go. Yeah, so look, they come into that game high on confidence. They had a couple of really strong victories. And that was the first time I'd really had an up-close look at the Dragons, and they're a big side. So I was thinking to myself, look, if the Roosters don't get on top early in the middle here, like this could go the way of the Dragons, particularly when Victor Radley was ruled out the day before. So, but yeah, the 60 points, what a victory that was. I thought it was, you could probably say it was slightly better than Storm, given... And look, I'm not trying to, you know, bag the Rabbitohs here, but I just thought that was going to be a Storm victory, and I thought leading up to it was going to be a strong victory, and it turned out to be that way. So probably a little bit more impressed with the way the Roosters got that win. 60 points was just incredible.
Cameron, I went without license this morning. Another statement said I'm on the Tane Milne incident from that game. Then when we on our show on Friday morning, we didn't know what sentence he was going to get, but I was thinking 6 weeks would be in the ballpark. I went ahead and said, I reckon every player in the game would want a strong penalty, say that was just an ordinary act. That it comes back as two matches. Have they got that too light?
Well, what was the charge for? Was it Cherry Evans and who was the other player?
Alakowatu.
Didn't they get offered 2 weeks as well for their tackle?
Yep. If they take the early play, it'll be 2 weeks.
Like seriously, 2 weeks for that, and then 2 weeks for the Tane Mill thing. Like there was intent there, and it was a brain snap. That's the only way I can describe it. There was 4 seconds left on the clock, boys. All Tane had to do was just stand up and let the tackle be completed, and the game would have been over. But he chose to dive in at Munster's legs he didn't even have his arms wrapped. He was sort of head first and hit him with his shoulders, and that's a big no-no. Like all players know, referees allow you to go in and tackle around the legs, but it can't be from the front. There's a very dim view of diving in you know, from the front of the player carrying the football, because the only position that knee joint can go is backwards, and that's not a natural movement. So, you know, to only have 2 weeks for that, and you're looking at other tackles that were really nowhere near in the same ballpark as far as danger to the ball carrier. Oh, it's, yeah. But this is an ongoing thing, right? Like with the MRC and like the charges and non-charges and just not getting it right. Like, I think he should have got at least four.
Yep, I'm with you. I would have been, I thought six, but yeah, four, certainly. A good month. Like you were putting have a month to think about, Tane, how you want to carry yourself next time you run out on a football field.
So thankfully, Cam Munster was okay, and he can play game 200, the Titans hosting Melbourne on Saturday. When it comes to that Melbourne lineup, we saw Xavier Coates go off, unfortunately, with an injury, but maybe Sua Falongo. Makes his return to the NRL this week. He played for the North Bears on the wing on the weekend, maybe with a view to coming into NRL. And Vossie, speaking of young, exciting players like Reece Walsh, well, Sua Falongo, be good to see him back on an NRL field again.
This is the thing, though. There's some question marks around Falongo's health, right? And Craig was a little bit, I spoke with Craig a couple of weeks ago, and he was just a little bit unsure of when they were going to get him back, but in the same conversation I spoke with him, you know, he's really looking forward to him being back on the field. It's great to see him play on the weekend. And I think he really, really wants to find a spot for him somewhere. Like, that's how good he is. And he's only a young man still, but we've seen, you know, some glimpses of him last year in a couple of games. And he looked right at home. And then also in the Pacific Test matches at the end of the year as well. Like, he is an out-and-out superstar. So maybe, I don't know. I don't know if one game back, Matty, is enough for him to get a start in first grade this week. But certainly, I think there's an opportunity for him down the track. He might be used, you know, maybe as a 14 on the bench, like Pappenhausen was used, you know, a few years back when he first joined the Melbourne Storm. Get him in and around the middle, around some tired forwards, or maybe even just trying to change up, you know, some positions in the back line as well. So, who knows? Still waiting on Xavier Coates, though. I think it may have just been precautionary, him coming from the field last week. But they're pretty strict with their soft tissue injuries down there in Melbourne. Any sort of hamstring stuff, they tend to, you know, sort of be a little bit more cautious rather than saying, well, you're right, mate, you're looking good, you can go back in. I think they may, if there's any sort of issue still lingering over these first couple of days, I reckon they might give Xavier a week off, and I don't know, maybe Sua finds his spot this weekend against the Titans.
I shouldn't have glossed over Cam Munster's 200th so quickly. That game on the Gold Coast, maybe you'll be there, Cam Smith. I don't know.
No, I'm going. I'm going as a fan, Matty.
Oh, there you go.
And as a man who's captained Cam Munster, just give us your take on 200 NRL games for the Melbourne number six.
Yeah, it's actually, I laugh because, you know, you think back to when he first started at the Storm. He was only a very young man, but he come in and just played well beyond his years. Just understood the game from the get-go, could play multiple positions. He come in and played fullback, boys, like in his first couple of seasons when, if you remember back to those 2 years where Billy had shoulder issues, 2015, 2016, where I think Billy played about maybe 12 games across those 2 years. So Cam was actually our fullback. And I reckon in 2016, so we went all the way to the grand final. We got beaten by the Sharkies. But in my eyes, I thought he was the best fullback in the competition that year. I really did. And it was a huge part as to why we were able to go that far, all the way to the grand final and eventually finish runners-up. But look, you know, look, he's had his ups and downs. He's had his challenges throughout his career. So to be able to, you know, stick at it, play 200 games, you know, he's an Origin player, he's an international player, and yeah, he's been so important for that footy club. So big week for him and his family. They'll be coming down for Rocky to watch this game. So big milestone for him. It's great to see that he's hung in there and worked hard, because it's a difficult thing, right? Like, to play 200 first grade games. It's a really, really difficult thing to do.
Thanks for listening to The Best of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy. Remember the podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Social media, our handle at Vossie Brandy SEN. It's been a big show. Thank you to all our guests, and we'll be back with you between 6 and 9 weekdays right here on the home of sport SEN.